God's grace and his peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Our text is coming from our Old Testament reading as we hear about a new covenant, a new relationship being established by God through the prophet for the people. Now, in order to describe this type of relationship, because I will admit to have a relationship with God is a very challenging thing to describe, so just humor me for a moment. I'd like to use marriage as an example. And the reason why I want to use marriage as an example is because for some, marriage is an opportunity for two human beings to be in a relationship. And throughout our humanity, that's probably one of the closest physical relationships we will ever have. And fair enough, God even uses this. He should know how he created us. So he uses this as that analogy to describe his relationship with us. So in marriage, we make those vows. But, you know, you realize as you see some of your friends, maybe even yourself, marriage does not always seem to work out. Sometimes those vows are forgotten. Sometimes those vows are broken. Divorce sometimes happens. And even in the midst of a man and a woman keeping those vows, there are moments where my wife isn't too pleased with some of the things that I do because I screw up and I make mistakes, fair enough. And I'm sure enough, there's sometimes, maybe once in the last 20-some years, that my wife has really offended me. But bottom line is, yes, those strained relationships will take place. So what happens when the anger comes up, even in the midst of a very important relationship? And of course, the worst thing that can happen then is that the anger just becomes all-consuming and the two then divide. And in the midst of those struggles, in the midst of that tension, what happens when we've tried to work things out? But, you know, in any type of relationship, it does take two, or at least one, to try to work out the relationship. If both are pushing against each other, the two will never come together. And the reason I need to use this to somewhat set the stage of what's going on here is God uses his relationship with us as an example for marriage. He says, I am a husband to the people of Israel, to all the people of the world. Scripture uses the idea that God is the groom and the church, those people who believe and trust in God, who are in that relationship, are the bride. So what happens when us as the bride turn our back upon God? What happens when we anger God by our own actions, by our own disobedience? Well, does God ever get angry? And the answer is yes, he does get angry. Why? Because the most important thing in the whole world is now missing. And that is the relationship he has with humanity, with people like you and me. So yes, God does get angry. That's why the title of this message is Anger Management. So how does God appease his anger? How does God seek restoration? Our text from our Old Testament reading gives us some ideas here. First of all, we have to go back to God's anger. Just because God is angry does not mean that God sins. Let me just sort of set that as a stage. The psalmist reminds us, says, be angry, but do not sin. So needless to say, God can be having that justified type anger. And sin is nothing more than the severing of that relationship, the brokenness of that relationship between us as humans and God himself. Now, unfortunately, there is a result of that sin for us and a result of that sin for God. From God's point of view, that sin now separates us from him, even though he desires for us to be in that relationship. But for us, there's probably even a worse result of that sin separation, and that is the wages of sin, as Paul reminds us, is death. However, God does not want to leave this couple, so to speak, in this type of relationship. He sends his son, Jesus Christ, to come and atone for the sin of the whole world, to bridge the gap. Now, it's kind of interesting here. When we talk about marriage and relationships, very often those relationships can be strained for many reasons. There can be things that interfere with the relationship. Maybe it's the job or the career. Maybe it's the in-laws. Or maybe it's the children. You know, those adorable children, they require a lot of time and attention. But when does the couple then have time to put that time into that relationship of theirs? They're so busy raising up the kids that sometimes they even lose sight of their relationship, and the relationship suffers. Also, in today's world, there's also something called the affair. The adulterous relationship that then enters into the marriage, and even after the affair takes place, if it does, there is still hope. Statistics say that only 65% of the relationships that had an affair end up in divorce. So there is hope. There is reconciliation. And strangely enough, God here takes His own Son, Jesus Christ, to repair that relationship. We know that to occur in the New Testament as Jesus comes to the cross, dies on the cross, and what happens, as the end of our text says, and God says, I will remember not our sins. God then takes our sins, takes His anger, pulls them away from us, and gives it to His own Son. So when Jesus dies on the cross, He's the one who bears God's anger and the punishment for our sin. Talk about a beautiful anger management idea. The idea that I've done something wrong and someone else takes the punishment for it. Hey, that's great for me, and it's also great for God. He gets His bride back. We get it back into a loving relationship with God the Father. Unfortunately, the one who suffers is Jesus Christ. So in the midst of this relationship, God says, I need to establish a new relationship. Why? Us as human beings, we're the ones who broke that first relationship. So God is the one who restores. It's God who takes that first step. Because when couples are in the midst of arguing, someone needs to take that first step toward reconciliation. So our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, God is the one who takes that first step. It is God who makes that new covenant, as the words of our text says, that new promise, that new relationship. And this all takes place through the person and work of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. No longer will God attach His sins to us, but now attaches our sins to God. And that's what the word remember means. Typically, you know, when we start thinking about some maybe TV programs or movies, we hear about the phrase dismemberment. Usually means that something is being detached from something. Remember basically means recalling, reattaching. So God is here in our text is saying, I'm no longer going to attach your sins to you. I'm going to attach your sins to my own Son, Jesus Christ. As a result, there is, so to speak, another wedding, another set of promises. But please notice when you read the Old Testament reading for today, who is doing the work? Typically, when a bride and a groom come to the altar of our Lord and exchange their vows, they're both promising something. And fair enough, God is promising to be our God, and we are in turn are promising to be His people. But if you take a real good close look at this, you'll find out that we come with empty hands. We can't fulfill our own end of the deal. So not only does God promise to be our God, He says, I will even help you to be faithful in your promises. There's going to be a special renewed emphasis here, a special new covenant. His anger is now transferred to the cross of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and so now he gives of himself for you and for me, because we couldn't do it. Like a couple who is so stuck in anger and can't take that step forward toward reconciliation, we also are stuck in sin, and we can't take that step forward in reconciliation with God. So it is God who helps us, so that we in turn can make that promise, so that we in turn can live in this relationship. God helps us with our anger, another form of anger management. Because we can't take the first steps, it's God who then changes our hearts. It's God who then cleanses us, because he's the one who first loves us. 1 John speaks about this. He says, God loves us so that we in turn can love one another. It first starts with the Almighty God. It does not start within us. And because we are now loved by God, we're going to do our best to live within this relationship. We're going to try to avoid any disobedience, try to avoid making any more anger in this relationship. And then we're going to take the next step further. We're going to take this love that God has first us loved us with, and in turn share this love with those around us. Because God wants all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of truth. Now, I will admit, in my analogy here of the concept of marriage, it's going to break down at this point. You know, very often the bride does not sit there and try to gather up as many girlfriends as possible for her husband. It just doesn't work in today's society. But with God, like I said, this analogy needs to break down here, because God wants all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of truth. He wants all people throughout Winfield, all people in DuPage County, all people in the United States, all people in the world, because his son's atoning death is for the forgiveness of sins of all people. And he does something even more to help with this relationship. Now, I will admit, I'm not exactly overly impressed with how a Hebrew word gets translated in our text. The term Torah usually gets translated as law, and we usually don't like to hear about laws. You know, we're thinking about speed limit 55. Yeah, we don't like those laws. We're thinking April 15th, tax day. I usually don't like those laws either. But that isn't the true nuance of the word here. The law is going to come. Nah, it doesn't sound good. So let's get back to the real meaning of this word, Torah, law, basically the word. The word is now going to come and dwell. What is this word? Our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Because that is what the Torah really meant. It was the words of God. Typically, we start thinking of them as the Ten Commandments, but still that word of God. That word of God now comes to us. In our text for today, it says that basically people who are going to be in this covenant relationship will now know the Lord because the word has come upon them. And John reminds us, the gospel writer, that the word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Yes, very often we start thinking of Jesus as someone who existed maybe a couple thousand years ago, but we have to realize also that Jesus is now dwelling within us. What makes this new covenant, this new relationship, different from the old one, which was broken? God himself is now coming to help you keep that covenant and is within you. St. Paul speaks about how the body is the temple of the Lord. Please note that the relationship that we now have with God is not some intellectual type relationship. It's just all in our mind. But it is in our hearts. And God is even within us. All this results because of God's love for you and me. Because of the forgiveness of sins. Because of this new and special relationship. As I mentioned at the beginning, Lent is a time that we remember our sinfulness and we remember our need for a Savior who comes, who loves us, who nurtures us, who builds us up, who says, I will help strengthen you. And isn't that what relationships are all about, especially for marriage? How I can give of myself to help better the other person. So it is with God. And yes, and I will admit, sometimes within those marriage relationships, there's a little bit of anger. Okay, maybe there's a lot of anger. But God has a way of dealing with that anger. He doesn't want our sins of disobedience to get in the way. So he comes, forgives, loves, nurtures, builds us up. He gives of himself so that we in turn can be in relationship with him. Later on in our service, we have a special opportunity again to be connected to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ through his body and blood, through this bread and wine, again, for this relationship, this new covenant. And in the words of institution, it's called a New Testament. This new relationship, showing that God's anger is now appeased. Anger management from God's view has been taken care of. And we are now reconciled with God, not just for a day or two, but forever. So as we come and kneel to receive Christ himself with that bread and wine, we are reminded of the forgiveness of sins that it brings and the relationship that we have through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Yes, in today's world, we have many things that cause our anger to arise. But we also have a Savior who comes and says, I will handle that as far as your relationship between you and God. And it doesn't just stop with God. As we understand the peace and love that comes from Christ, that anger management that God has with us can flow through us even in our relationship with other family members, with in-laws, with neighbors, even with the boss at the workplace. Yes, God's anger management is more than just bringing us into relationship with him. It's changing us so that we also can show that love and that forgiveness to a world around us. In his name, amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.